When we woke up this morning, I can't remember exactly. If I'm not mistaken, it's like 3:45. And a message started coming to me, and I thought that's probably what I'd be preaching on today. And it was on homosexuality. And then I sort of dozed back off to sleep and then woke up a little bit later. And it wasn't that I was even conscious that I was awake. It's almost like it just went from the homosexuality on over and into the fornication and adultery issue. And I was laying there, and it just kept coming to my mind, And, you know, it's a sad thing that we live in a day and a time when preachers are so scared to preach messages upon these topics because they're afraid of what people might think. They're so scared to preach message on it because they're afraid that somebody might try and sue them because they've offended somebody. But, you know, if the Word of God offends you, I feel sorry for you, but all I know to do is tell you to repent, because when we stand before God, we're being judged by the Word. And as a preacher, I must preach the Word of God, because if I don't, God said, woe unto me. And He told me and every other preacher that God called across this land and country, preach my Word. Don't preach what some seminary doctor has taught you. Don't preach what so-and-so wrote in their book, but preach my Word. And you and I today, we can go to the Word of God and we can find an answer for about every subject that we want to bring up in our land and country today. It's the answer is still there in God's Scripture if we want to search for it. And I want each and every one of you to pay attention. We're going to read in several places in the Bible today, but I want you to pay attention. And I want to first read the definition of fornication, and this won't be in most of your new dictionaries. You'll find that they have changed it to include just about everything. But if you'll go back and get you a real, real old dictionary, you'll find that fornication, it says voluntary sexual intercourse between an unmarried woman and an unmarried man. And then the definition of adultery is sexual intercourse between between a married man or woman and a woman or man, not their wife or husband. Now, once you are married, you can no longer commit fornication. A lot of times people today, they claim that's their justification for getting a divorce because their wife or their husband went out and committed fornication on them, and according to the Bible, they can get a divorce. My wife and me have been married for, and I can't remember the exact number, and that's probably going to get me into trouble, but it's 30-some years. And, you know, from the time that we said I do, there was no longer that I could commit fornication. Any time that I think a thought about another woman that is impure, or any time I would go out with another woman to commit any kind of an act whatsoever, it would have been adultery. And you and I today, it's time for people to realize that God has got a standard, and we're going to be judged by that standard. And if you'd like to read with us, we're first going to read in the second chapter of Genesis. And I want you to listen close to this scripture. The second chapter of Genesis, starting with the 23rd verse. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, that is in the beginning back there when it was just Adam and Eve here, and God laid down exactly what He was expecting. That Adam and Eve, they was to be one flesh. And never again could they be separated except by death. Then if you'll turn over into Malachi, the second chapter, and start with the 13th verse. "And this have ye done, again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that He regardeth not the offering any more, or receive it with goodwill at your hands. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth." Now listen. He said, "Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth." Now, there it said, "Because God hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth." Then if you'll turn over with us into the first chapter of Matthew, and start with the 18th verse. Matthew 1 and 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bid him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Then turning over into the 19th chapter of Matthew, and start with the 4th verse. "And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They said unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement, and to put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wife. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." Now here these are words that Christ spoke, and you'll find in the definition that I read to you about fornication, what it means, and that's why Joseph, it made it plain Joseph had never slept with Mary. But yet she was looked upon as his wife. And yet he was going to put her away, and God told him not to be afraid to take her unto him for wife, because what was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. And then he took her, but yet he did not sleep with her as a man and a woman. unto after Christ was born. And hear what he was saying to them there. If you and anybody that is in it, and basically that's what a betrothal was. It was an engagement. They was promised and looked upon as being wife and husband. And he said to them, in that situation, if the one is found to have went out and slept with somebody else, you could put them away. And it's time today that we go back and make it plain that it isn't just every excuse that we can turn and walk away from a wife or from a husband, but we've got to do what the Bible said. Then if you'll turn over with us into the 7th chapter, the book of Romans, it's starting with the 2nd verse. Said, for the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now, you and I today, I think that makes it about as plain as it can get if we want to know and we want to understand what God is getting at. But then if you'll turn over into the 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and starting with the 8th verse. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. Now, you and I, that is about is clear. I don't know how anybody could get around it. But then in the 39th verse of this same chapter, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. Now, I want each and every one of you to pay attention to these scriptures. And I hope that you've marked them in your Bible. And I want you to listen very close today. God is telling each and every one of us the standard that He wants us to live. And He's laid it down. He started off in Genesis to tell man and woman that it's for life. It's until death do you part. There's no excuse. That's why today, preacher, they need to go back and preach it from the pulpit. So our young people from children ought to know what God required. If not, then I get into marriage. And if it don't work out, then I leave this one and I'll get me another one. We take a vow before God unto death do us part, and we set ourselves aside to be a wife for a husband unto them for good, unto they die, and we're bound by the law of God unto that word unto death. People say, well, how do we know God joined us together when we come before man and God, and we accept the woman as our wife or our man as our husband? Be the woman and when we accept that, when we face God, that's the one of our youth. And what I was reading to you there in Malachi, he said, the wife of your youth, and that first wife that you have, is your companion and the wife of covenant. That first husband you have is your companion and the husband of covenant. And each and every one of us, we will never get one a more younger or before that one of our youth. I don't care what age we get married. If we're 50 years old when we get married for the first time, that is the wife or the husband of our youth. Why, you don't get any younger than that. If or you started out with a married and that word God recorded as you being married to whoever you took to
We're being judged for God's word, and He said there, every word, every deed, everything that we do, we're going to stand and face God and give an account of. And young people today, God is in His plan that we shouldn't go out of commit fornication. Today people say, oh, you must serve your wife. Now you must save yourself for your wife, for your husband, to offer something pure to her. Why throwing around the world? The way you must call the Bible said it's a piece of bread, a little pain. But when you save yourself for your wife, for your husband, when you come to that wedding night, you got the most precious gift to give a toy that you can have for because they don't know that you sold something to yourself. You treasured your own body and you give it under the shelter
that you can give only one time. And you and I today, if people would only realize how valuable a virgin is in the sight of God and in the sight of a husband or a wife. You know, I've had a lot of people that I've talked to down across the years. Even single people that become sexually active. And after they did, the person they was with, they always had that doubt, that question in the back of their mind. Are they being faithful to me when I'm not around? Are they being faithful? Why? Because they figure if they'll sleep with me, they'll sleep with somebody else. So it robs you of the purity. It robs you of the peace of mind. But when you get married and you're pure and that's a partner, they see that you saved yourself from them. They see that you had the strength to resist and say no to temptation. The man can go off to work and make the what great prayer family coming to the house today. He's not on the job worried about what's going on at home. The wife is not worried about what the husband is doing when he goes away. Because they got a bond there, faith. They got trust there. But when that is gone, they're not much left. And you and I today, God wanted us to have a union that were two becomes one. And He said you can never be twain again. You might get mad at your husband and take off and leave, or mad at your wife and leave, and figure out anyone that suits me better. But no matter how long you live, in the eyes of God, that's still your wife or your husband. It is time for us to realize that God makes no mistakes, and He laid down a perfect law for us to live by. And in the New Testament, you'll find that they caught a woman in the act of adultery, the very act of it. Well, that meant she wasn't by herself. There had to be a man involved. But they only brought her to Christ. And they was ready to stone her, as was the law in the Old Testament. That's why they didn't have to worry about divorce so much in the Old Testament if they'd done according to the law. One that was found guilty of adultery, they would take it out and they would stone so then their husband or their wife, the innocent party, they were free to marry. Why? Because their wife and their husband had been stoned to death for their sin. But when it comes to the New Testament, and they was there ready to stone this woman to death, they cried. I'm often wondering what it was that he was writing in the sand as they were standing there talking. Maybe he was just listening to the sin that he knew was in the heart of all of those that was standing there with stones in their head. And cried, Father, the one with
and everyone laid their soul down and walked away. Only that woman stands there and cries out to her, "Where are thy accusers?" And they were to be found. And he told her, "Go and sin no more." You and I today, we might look down at those in the body and us all pray, but that's just sin. And we have sin in our lives. We're just as guilty in the eyes of God. We're going to the same hell as that man or woman that's living in us all pray. We need to get ourselves cleaned up and purified that we might be able to reach out and help others see what God requires. You know, a person that's in adultery can be forgiven just like any other sin. They can be forgiven, but you cannot go on in your sin.
That's right.
Paul said there that a person, if they divorce, he said, from to be remain unmarried or go back and be reconciled. And I had a man to say to me, "Well, how can you be reconciled? She's already married." Then you live your life alone if you want to be right with God. And you and I cannot give you an answer other than that. All I can do is say what the Word of God tells us to live. And each and every one of us today, we might have, and I do, I have friends and I have loved ones that's in adultery. And I know when you talk to them, it's a hard thing for them to grasp, for them to see to what it is that they've got to do to be right in the sight of God. But I can't promise them nothing else, because I've searched the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. There's not a loophole that I can find there that they can get around the law of God. Unlike men's law, man writes the law with loopholes in it, where they can get around and they don't have to abide by it. God wrote it down and give it to you and I. There's no loopholes in it. It must be obeyed or stand before it undone. God made it so plain. It is literally right and wrong, black and white. It's not something we have to wonder about, but we can know if we'll stand and read God's Word and not try and add to it or take away from it, but see just exactly what God required and know exactly how that God is looking at us. He said for us to judge ourselves. How else can I judge myself and know what God expects of me? To go to that book that He has written for each and every one of us. The books of the Bible, they were many books wrote over many years of time by men spread over a wide distance. And yet when it all comes together, it proves the inspiration of God's word, because they all found together to make a perfect picture of what God wanted. That's why you and I, we can put our faith and trust in it, though, that God, when He said, "I don't judge you, but the words that I speak, they shall judge you." The Bible is God's spoken word unto each and every one, and we must abide by it. Because when we stand at judgment, God will read, if you're in adultery, He will read these very passages of Scripture unto you and pronounce you guilty. And those that stand before God in violation of His Word will not go into heaven. And there's only two places. We either go to heaven with God, or we're going to end up in the lake of fire with the devil. Because that's whose servant we are. We either obey God's Word, or we are a servant of the devil. People do not like to hear that. They don't like it put that plain.
But either you abide by what God says and you're obedient unto God, or you're listening unto the lies of the devil. And I've had people to say, I know that's what the Bible says, but God has revealed to me that it's different in my situation. God said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I changed not. You and I, we say, oh, I've got some new revelation, and it goes contrary to God's word. It's the devil slipping a counterfeit, and we're willing to believe it. If a preacher is promising you that you're all right, you can't not break up the home because of the children. I'm telling you, God's word said we must abide in His word, and when we stand before God, we're going to be judged by it. And what is it if we suffer here for a few years and have to deny ourselves that we might live with God? You know, the Lord lets me live to August of this year, I'll be 60 years old. And my life has seemed short. And you and I, if we must live our life alone without sex, no matter how long we live, it's a very short time compared to eternity. And it's better for us. You know, Paul even said in what we read to you, for the widow and the unmarried, he said, you're better off if you remain as I am. What was that? Single, dedicated unto God. Any person, though you've never been married, if you can deny yourself and dedicate yourself totally to God, and live without a husband or a wife and be true to God, I say that's the best. Because you just don't have all of the weights and everything. Though I cherish every child God blessed me with, though I cherish the grandchildren that God has blessed me with, you and I today, it's no sin to marry and to have children. But you and I, if we can do without that and dedicate ourselves totally to God, that's probably the best situation. Why? Because if it makes no difference here to you, if it comes to trials and the temptation where somebody comes in and they threaten your life, then that's easy. I could say easily, yeah, just go ahead and take my life. Why? Because I don't want to waste me. But it'll be much harder if somebody come in to say the life of one of my children or one of my grandchildren. That would be far harder for me to face than it would be to face my own sin. You and I today, we can deny ourselves and we'll be strong against the things of this world and give ourselves wholly unto God. But if we change ourselves and we're going to pray, then marry in the obedience of God. Stay within the boundaries God set out. So when our life is over, we can hear Him say, well done. A man and a woman that bind together in God, according to God's word, they can become a strong bond. They can raise children that love the Lord, and you can teach them about God. It's still in your God's value, and you can be proud when it comes down time to die. But you and I today, whatever stage that we're in, whether we're single or married, or even if you have been into a divorce, remain unmarried, or just dedicate yourself to God, that you might stand before God and be pleasing. If we're in marriage, still dedicate ourselves unto God. That as a husband, we're going to be the head of the house according to the way God laid it down. As a mother, we're going to be the mother the way God laid it down, and the wife the way God laid it down. You know, I realize in this day of women's lib and all of that. They don't like to hear about the way that God said that the man was to be the head of the woman. They don't like to think of that. But in a marriage, if it works, that's the best way for the man to be the head of the house and the woman to be his helper. And for them to bind together in agreement over how to raise the children and how to teach them. And the man should definitely lead the house according to the Word of God. Be an inspiration, an example that the children can grow up to see and know exactly what it is that mom and dad put their faith and trust in. When trouble comes, they see you go to your knee before God to pray to find the answer. Whatever the problem that raises, they see that you go to God to pray and to talk to God about it. I'm so thankful in my life I can look back over it. I see many places where I failed God. But I only pray the things that my children remember the most. It's not my failure, but the victory that I walk with God. The time that I stood on the mountain, God, and was able to look out and say, I know my God lives. I know that He reigns. I know that He's able to give us victory. Why? You and I today, we can still latch on and take hold of that if we want it. I'm so thankful today. These scriptures we read to you, there's more in the Bible, but these scriptures we read to you, there is no place that you can find where you can get around it. God's Word does not contradict itself. Men tries to read interpretations into it that's not there. But God's Word does not contradict itself. And when you think you found a contradiction, you're misunderstanding something. And you need to spend time in prayer to find out the answer. While we get some song to sing, if there's one and you need to pray today about something in your life, I beg you, don't say no to it. Young people, I beg you, keep yourself pure. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. You know, I've known a lot of people in life that regret their years in sin. I know a lot of people that regret those fields of wild oats that they sowed and the scars that they carried because of it. But I've never met a person that told me I regret giving to the Lord when I was young. Everyone I've ever met that said, I wish if I had it to do over, I'd give my heart and life to the Lord even younger than I did. Why? Because when they come to truly know God and that peace that He can give, it's nothing that they can compare with. They can't find anything better than that. And they regret the time that they lived, that they wasn't living for God. While we sing, what's in your heart today? God's Word is true, and He's standing ready today to save anyone that wants to be forgiven. I don't care what condition you're in. You can say, without knowing God, I could not live like that. But why not try? Try the Lord and find out what strength, what help there is in serving God. None of us could live for the Lord if it was just on our own. But when we come to God and we get that salvation, that Spirit on the inside, that forgiveness is totally different than what we thought it had. Then it would be looking at it through eyes of sin. Oh, I'm so thankful today that each and every day of my life I can get on my knees and pray and talk to God and find strength for that day. No matter what it is that I'm afraid, and you can too. Will you come?